Please turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 15. Our meditation will be upon the whole chapter, verses 1 to 21. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 21. After this thing, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all this, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Verse 16, But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass, that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenite, and the Kenizzite, and the Cammonite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Rephaim, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Jebusite, and the Jebusite. May God bless us in the reading of His holy and precious word. Well, the title is Surety of God's Promises. Promises are declaration. They are assurances. What you have said, you will definitely do. And promises are meant to be kept, not meant to be broken. Well, as simple as saying, I will not be late again. Perhaps you have been late too many times. And so when you say, I will not be late again. Well, that is a promise. You want to make your words count. You want others to trust in you that you mean what you say. Well, now it's the exam time. How many of our children will also say to the parents, I will study hard. I will want to do well. I will not be lazy. I will do my part and study well for my exam. Well, that is a promise, isn't it? Although we know that there is a place for those agreements that perhaps of greater weight, that you require some form of a black and white confirmation. Well, we know of marriage to come into effect by a piece of paper. that you sign on the dotted line. Of course, it is more than just a piece of paper. It is also a witness before God and before man that this agreement has been made in a very serious way, very serious manner. But even then, you know, whatever man promises, whether it is by words or by black and white, God still can be broken, isn't it? Although there are white, black and white, there may be penalties. You know, when the promise is broken, well, there will be some form of restitution to be made. But today we are living in a world that man is all prepared to pay the penalty. Because to them it is no big deal. You just pay the penalty and you are let off. But have we realized the importance of promises that is meant to be kept and not broken? But God gave us His Word, and from God Himself, we see how His promise is sure, and He Himself will keep it, and He will ensure it that His promise will be kept all the way to the end. And God will not go back on His Word. He will keep it. Is that not comforting to us? We know God, and we are His people, and that we have such a God who keep His promises. And so in our passage in Genesis chapter 15, well, it's all about the promises of God. And so we pray that the Lord will comfort our heart, that will lead us to trust in Him in all His promise that is given to us. Now in verse 1, we read, after these things, God will refer to what has happened in chapter 14. Now chapter 14 began with the war between the Northern Alliance, rather made up of four kings, against the five kings of the south. Well, the four kings, Alliance won, and therefore took over the cities of the five kings in the south. And Sodom was one of the cities that were taken. And we know that Lot stayed in Sodom. And because he stayed in Sodom, and so he was taken as well. And so when Abram heard of this, well, Abram took up the responsibility. He led his servant and to go and save Lot out of the hands of the five kings. Now we know that Abram is not a soldier. He is not a man of war. And yet, he was able to fight against, you know, the experienced five kings or four kings, powerful, experienced. They were armed with all kinds of weapons. Well, isn't it God is the one who grant Abram the victory? Now, this war between the Northern and the Southern Alliance could have caused Abram to be very afraid because of his own safety, as well as the safety of his family. Now, if not for Lot, Abram could not have been involved with anything that got to do with all these wicked kings that try to fight for power, for land. Abram could have nothing to do with them. And so because of Lot, of course we know that it is God's higher hand, that God is trying to build Abram's faith. And so Abram is now feeling afraid. Now that he had made enemies, you know, with the hidden king, not sure all these hidden kings will now take note of Abram. Perhaps you will see him as a threat. And then Abram is still moving from tent to tent. He has no high wall to protect himself. And so he is still living in an open area. And so he still needs to look up to God. And so God would assure him as how he appeared to Abram again. And that is the fourth time that God appeared to Abram. God told Abram not to be afraid. Fear not, he says. And how did God introduce himself to Abram? for the very first time. He said to him, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So in the very first verse, contain for us the promise of God. Fear not, Abraham, because I am your shield. Now the shield is a tool for protection. To protect from evil, danger, from all harms, from all enemies. Well, when you have a shield, you will shield yourself from all these external attacks. But Abraham is to look to God as his shield. He's not look to all these physical shields. What are the people would use to protect themselves? All those living in the city will have high walls, and the wall will act as the shield. Shield against the enemy, shield against the wild beasts. That's why Abraham is not to go into the city and join with the city. Abraham is to look to God. God and him alone. Because God is his shield. God promised him that. Oh, what a great comfort, isn't it? No, when you have God to protect you, you will not be afraid anymore. Because God is your shield. He will surely protect you. Cover you from all harms and danger. And so Abraham had to trust in what God has said to him. Now these are God's words being given to Abraham. Abraham does not have the Bible that he can refer to when he is down or when he has forgotten what God has said to him. Not for us, no, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we fail to remember. But we have God's word in our hand. We have the Bible that we can always refer to, which most often we take for granted. But not for Abraham. Abraham has no physical Bible in his hand. And he must always remember what God has said to him. And so his faith must be very strong, not only just to remember, he must believe it. And not just believe it, he must keep on believing in it. Now not only God is his shield, we were told that God is his exceeding great reward. Well, it means that all blessings, well, God will be the one who gave to Abraham. In fact, when God says, I am your exceeding great reward, God himself is the reward. God himself is the blessing that Abraham received. Well, what can be greater than God himself? The greatest blessing of all. More than what Abraham could ask for. You know, while dwelling in the land of Canaan, with all these dangers surrounding them, well, there is much fear. Abraham needs to look up to this Almighty God, who gave Abraham these assuring words. And so Abraham is to trust in God by faith, of what God has promised to be his shield and to be his exceeding great reward. But it seems like Abraham's faith began to weaken. How do we know? Well, we look at verses 2 to 3. Because 2 to 3 will reveal to us, you know, the faith of Abraham. Seemed to be very weak. Verse 2. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the reward of, and a steward of my house, is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And so the anxiety is revealed in his question given to God. He says, what wilt thou give me? Now Abraham could be at least 85 years old, 10 years after God has called him out of the earth of the Chaldees. Now 10 years is not a very long time, but it's also not a very short time. 10 years have passed since God has given the promise. And where is the seed? Am I going to wait for another 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? Now, it is not wrong for Abraham to look at his faithful servant, Eliezer. Because in those days, well, it is a common practice that if one does not have an heir, then the faithful servant will be the one who will be entrusted the inheritance. And all that the master possessed will be given to him. And so it's a common practice. And so it is not wrong for Abraham to make such a proposal. Moreover, we know that God has not made known to Abraham, you know, how he is going to give him his seed. Because God is only telling Abraham that God will bless him with a seed. God did not specify that his seed will come from his own bowel until now. Okay, and that is what we are going to see, okay, in verse 4. Okay, how God would promise Abraham very specifically. He's not going to look at the servant regardless of how faithful he is, that he will be the heir. No. He will be one from his own bowel. In other words, it will be the natural way in which he will have a son of his own. Now, it's always very challenging to walk by faith and not by sight. Well, by sight will be much easier. Well, because we will use our five senses. You know, the most important of all our five senses will be our sight. Because we see what is before us. And the thing we see before us will be real. And then with other senses, such as hearing, touching, tasting, smelling. But God does not want us to use our five senses, you know, to trust in His promises. Now you can call it sixth sense. God wants us to use our faith. God wants Abraham to believe by faith. Simply by believing what God has said. That is faith. And so we shall see. What is God's answer to Abraham's proposal? Verses 4 and 5. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. And so Abraham has to take note. Is this what he has proposed? No. God said, this shall not be thy heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. So for the very first time that Abraham heard this, that a seed will come out of him naturally. And then verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, and unto him, so shall thy seed be. And so God promised Abraham that a seed will come out of his own bowels. And these words are great words of assurance to Abraham. And especially after he saw the countless stars, well, that spread over the sky. Now one thing to note over here, that we must realize that at this time, the sun has not set yet. So in other words, it is still the bright daylight. How do we know? Now the sunset only happened in verse 12. Okay, if we look at verse 12. And when the sun was going down, okay, the sun was setting. But we are still in verse 5. Verse 5 is still the day. The sun is still shining. And God brought Abraham out into the open. Look up to the heaven. The third heaven, the sky. And what did he see? Stars. Well, if we try to go out, maybe after the service, or after the Sunday school, let us try to locate the stars. we will not be able to see any star. Is this not an extraordinary sight that God gave to Abraham? I remember in the recent AF retreat, the last night, we were all out at the courtyard. Then we look up the sky. Oh, what a feasting of stars, shining, twinkling brightly. And then it was deliberately that the resort Lautan Biru, the surrounding, the light will all switch off, so that we can see the stars even clearer. Wow, it's really a feasting of all these stars which are God's creation. Now, because we are able to see the contrast, because the background of the stars are great darkness, that's why we can see the stars very clearly. Even on the ground level, they are all dark. What about Abraham when he saw this amazing sight that God had brought him out into the open in the broad daylight? And then when he looked up, I don't think we can imagine how beautiful it will be. How the stars must shine so brightly. God must have caused it. Every single star shining brighter than before. You can see the stars shining brightly at night, but not in the daylight, isn't it? Is this not impossible? But nothing is impossible with God. And this is what God is telling Abraham over here. When you are able to see this star shining brightly in the broad daylight, something impossible. And that greatly strengthened Abraham's faith. Because he also looked at himself. He is an 85-year-old man already. As good as dead. What hope will he have? Will really a son come out of his own bowels? Wow, God's promise is not made in vain. When God said it, it means that he will surely do it. We just have to believe it. And so Abraham just had to believe what God has said to him. But God is pleased to show him the impossibility that strengthened his faith. And so from verses 1 to 5, we see how God's promise is given to Abraham. And then in verse 6, God's promise is believed. Abraham responds. It's faith and belief. We read in verse 6. Abraham put his faith and trust in God. Okay, according to verse 6. And he believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. So there is no doubt at all right now in Abraham's heart and mind after what he has seen, the many stars out in the broad daylight, that impossibility is definitely made possible. What it seemed to be to man's perspective is impossible, but with God, absolutely possible. Simply because God said it. And so God can make it possible. So to Abraham, God can do it. And all that Abraham needs to do is to believe. Believe by faith. And such a faith is the basis which God counted Abraham as righteous. And so we know that Abraham was not justified before God by his own work. Because only in chapter 17 that Abraham was circumcised. Okay, and that will be his work. And so we see the sequence of salvation over here. Faith comes first. And then after that, followed by works. And so true faith will lead to good work. And so what Abraham had done became the reference point Okay, which one must be justified by faith alone and not by works. Well, in the New Testament, when Apostle Paul has to contend with those who taught justification by works. And so, we see over here what Abraham has done became very clear. Faith comes first, followed by works. So are you made righteous by Christ? Or are you still working your way to earn righteousness of your own in order to enter heaven? Well, verse 6 is a very important verse that reveals to us that how we must believe by faith. And so Abraham simply believed God's promise by faith. And God declared him righteous. And then God is pleased to guarantee his promise with a seal, with a covenant. That's what we see from verses 7 to 21. See, verses 7 to 21. We read in verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. So God not only called Abraham, but brought him out from where he came from. So in other words, God is the one who enabled Abraham to believe. No, it is the Spirit of God that is working. No, sometimes we do not know how that actually works, but it is working. The Spirit indwells in us and fills us in such a way, no, that it seems like no, we are the one who make the decision. But as we draw closer to God, we realize that we have no strength of our own. We realize that it is the Spirit of God that has been leading us, empowering us, enabling us to walk every step by faith. And that's what Abraham has done. No, it's not because Abraham is so righteous, he's so strong in his faith of his own. Know that he has seen the evil of his own people. And then suddenly, he just wants to leave her of the Chaldees. No, it's by the enabling, the empowering of the Spirit of God that dwells in him, that enable him to obey the call of God. And so God is reassuring Abraham. No, this is the Lord doing. What God has done since 10 years ago, God has not left him or abandoned him or forgotten about him. God is still with Abraham. And the promise of giving him the land is still in effect. It's still valid. And this assurance is important because Abraham is still traveling in tents, moving from place to place within the land of Canaan. When will we settle down? No, after seeing all the cities with high walls, there seems to be no place for Abraham. Everywhere is dangerous. But Abraham is to walk by faith. And then even now, Lot has returned back to the city of Sodom. Abraham is alone again with his wife and his family of servants and all the flock. So Abraham has every reason to fear, but God strengthened him. God has not failed him. God has not abandoned him. And Abraham needs to look up to God always and not fear. And then verse 8. Verse 8. Abraham said to God, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now this is not a question of doubts or unbelief. It's a question requesting confirmation. Confirmation by sign. And with this sign, Abraham will be able to show and prove to anyone, especially his own seed, that it is indeed what God has promised. It's a confirmation. You know, that's for husband and wife. Why do they need to sign on the dotted line, the piece of paper? Why do we need to wear the ring? Well, is that not a confirmation? Why not just say to each other, "No, I love you, let's be husband and wife." That's it. Why waste that paper? Or why buy that piece of metal that confirms our relationship? Well, there's a place for all this confirmation, isn't it? Yes, no doubt we are bound to commit ourselves even without the papers, without the metals. But then with all this as signs of confirmation, it reminds us. You will tell our children, "No, your mom and dad is married before God and before the people of God." Telling us a witness before God and before man that this marriage has been made. It serves as a testimony. It serves as a confirmation. And so in the same way, the covenant, it will serve as a confirmation, which God is pleased to make with Abraham. And so such a request is not wrong. Because if it is wrong, then God would have chided Abraham for his lack of faith. But God is pleased. God is pleased to answer Abraham by sealing his promise to him with a covenant. In fact, we are going to see how this covenant is to be fulfilled. No, usually a covenant will require all parties, you know, to have a part in fulfilling the covenant, the agreement. But over in this covenant that God made with Abraham, it's a very unique covenant. Because it is going to be a covenant which God Himself will fulfill it alone. Well, that even makes it more firm and sure, because God will never fail. And so from verses 9 to 11, well, we see how the covenant is given. Verse 9. "And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all this, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not." So the covenant that God is going to make with Abraham, well, involves the death of animals. Well, from the larger animal to the smallest, such as the birds. Now it was believed that this is a Chaldean covenant which Abraham himself is familiar with, okay, because he came from Ur of the Chaldees. And the animal chosen will represent the different classes of people, you know, from the rich to the poor. And so no one is left out in this covenant. And what God is about to do is to establish a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham being the representative, okay, of all his people, of his seed, from the richest to the poorest, all included. And Abraham cut all these animals into two parts, okay, except the birds. And then according to this covenant, parties involved will have to walk through the divided animal. And they'll walk together. And this will signify, you know, the agreement of the covenant being made in completion. You know, after they finish the walk, that will seal the covenant that they made together. And to any of them break the covenant, well, let them be divided as these animals. And so it's a very visual thing that they see. You know, that it's a very serious and binding covenant, you know, that one made with the other, you know, according to this covenant. And so it's very serious, very binding. All parties have to keep the covenant faithfully. Okay, and so this is the covenant which God will make with Abraham. And so after all the preparation was done, okay, Abraham waited for God's instruction for the next step. And then in verse 11, and when the fowl came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. So in other words, no, Abraham had to wait. No, he must have waited some time. Because the smell of the dead animals have attracted, you know, the fowl to come. And Abraham had to prevent the fowls from eating the dead animals. Not to allow the, you know, the animals be taken away and spoil the covenant. And then verses 12 to 17, we see how the covenant was being carried out. Verse 12. And when the sun was going down, okay, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And lo and horror of great darkness fell upon him. Okay, so, in other words, while waiting, you know, Abraham fell into a deep sleep. What is the doing of God? God made Abraham fell into the deep sleep because the purpose of the covenant that he's going to make with him, Abraham will have, you know, will not have to go through and walk past the dead animal, the divided animal. God himself will fulfill it according to his own intent and design. But throughout the deep sleep, and one thing very interestingly is, you know, God is still able to communicate with Abraham. So while he was very deep sleep in a physical body, but he was conscious enough to hear what God has said to him. And so in verse 13, and he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not there, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. Now why did God have to reveal to Abraham all this? Now these are just words. Abraham will not witness all these things to happen. But Abraham will see them by his eyes of faith, simply by what God has said to him. And so what will happen? How his seed, well, will be severely suffered in the foreign land. We know that it's Egypt. But Abraham had no idea at all. But for us, we know. We look back. It was recorded for us. Okay, the foreign land is Egypt. And they were there for about 400 years, although the exact years will be 430 years. But a round off will be 400 years. But God will deliver them. And God will judge Egypt, who caused the suffering, by the 10 plagues. Now we know, by the mighty hand of God through Moses, you know how the 10 plagues came about. Oh, the Egyptians suffered greatly. And so Abraham did not witness all these future events that will happen to his seed. But he only saw them with his eyes of faith. Simply by what God has said to him. Abraham believed. We know because, based upon verse 6, Abraham believed with all his heart. And then verse 16, that will mean that the conquest of the land of Canaan will begin in the fourth generation. What fourth generation? Well, according to Exodus chapter 6, 16 to 20, well, Caleb was in the fourth generation, okay, from Judah, and then Moses was from the fourth generation, from Levi. And so this will happen and be fulfilled according to what God has said to Abraham. Very specific. Abraham believed. He saw with his eyes of faith what God will do. And then in verse 17 we read, "And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces." So by now the sun has already set, and it was dark at night. And so not only God was able to communicate with Abraham, but Abraham was able to witness what God has done. Okay, he saw God went alone through the divided animal. He did so with, you know, through the smoking furnace and the burning lamp that were very bright at night. Abraham did not go through with God. Okay, I think would mean that God Himself, God alone, will fulfill the covenant. I thought it is God's will that this covenant should be kept by Him and Him alone. He will ensure that the covenant that He made with Abraham will surely come to pass. And so the fulfillment of the covenant depended not on Abraham, but depended on God's faithfulness. And so that is the promise which God made to Abraham. What a wonderful God we have, isn't it? You know, when we look back to how we have been brought to Christ, it is not because we are good. It's not because we are so clever to realize that this is the plan, the salvation plan, that we are to be saved in this way, to Jesus Christ. You know, if left on our own, we will still be in the world, believing in all sorts of philosophies, ideas, and how we will be still working our way to heaven, thinking that we are well and all right, deceiving ourselves. But that's when we look back. Now, with the eyes of faith, we realize, you know, God is the one who turned us around. God is the one who gave us this understanding, who give us this spiritual insight to what life is all about. So where do we really come from? And what am I doing here? And where am I really going? Is there life after death? Is there hope beyond the grave? No, God has given us the new spiritual insight to what life and death is all about. And by His promise, we are saved. God has done it all. God did not give us step by step how we can be saved. You know, you do step one, very good. But if you did not do it well, you did not pass, then you have to start again and do it. No. Salvation is by faith. Just by believing. Not a thief on the cross. Believe. Believe with all his heart, soul, and mind. There is no works that you could do. You cannot be circumcised or be baptized. You cannot be reading the Bible, doing his quiet time, and serve the Lord. Right there and then, God saved him. By faith. And so the promise of the covenant, well, which God made with Abraham, well, God Himself will fulfill the promise. Now, from verses 18 to 21, the Lord drawn out the boundaries. Okay, the boundaries, okay, in which the land of Canaan will be promised to Abraham. Verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, so in other words, all this happened in the same day. But that's why we believe, you know, when God brought Abraham out, you know, to see the sky, to see the star, it's the same day. No, it's not on a different day. No, no, same day. And then we see the sequence. Verse 5 is still day, broad daylight. And then we come to verse 12, the sun begins to set. And then by the time He arrived to verse 17, wow, totally dark, because the sun has already set. And so it's an amazing event that happened in the life of Abraham, that God gave his promise to Abraham. And Abraham believed God's promise. Okay, so in verse 18, the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Okay, from river to river. Let's set the boundary. And which are owned, okay, inhabited, okay, from verses 19 to 21 by these people, the Canaanite, the Kenizzite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Rephaim, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Girgashite, and the Jebusite. So it's with reference to all these inhabitants of the land, still possessing the land. And this will be the land which God will give to Abraham's seed. No, when you look at all these inhabitants, how to possess the land while they are still there? Abraham must believe in God. And all these cities are with high walls. No, you can probably can count. No, each name will be at least a city with high walls. No, how many cities of these people could be found? There will be so many cities, strong and powerful. Only God can make it happen. You know, that all these people will be driven out. And to give the land of Canaan to Abraham's seed. And so God himself will fulfill. In fact, according to the history of Israel, and even as we see in today's Israel, well, we see that this covenant is not fulfilled completely. Because from river to river, there was some part, that was still not conquered yet. Although it is believed that the fulfillment will come in the millennium, well, which Christ will rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. In fact, Christ will rule over the whole world, but he will rule from Jerusalem. So God's promise will be fulfilled. We have such a wonderful God. The God of Abraham is the same God we believe today. The God who gave his promise, and God wants the recipient of his promise to believe by faith. And God himself will fulfill the covenant, the promise that he gave to his people. And so we have such a God who gave us this promise. Whom shall we fear? From our day-to-day activities, day-to-day life, there will be many who will try to shake our fears. The world will try to offer many things to attract our eyes so that we will want to take the offer from the world. And then forget about God's promise. Not to be serious with our faith. Not to take our worship seriously as we ought. In our preparation. That when we worship God, is it our mind somewhere else? Or are we giving God this minimal service? That we think that it's alright. No, once we fulfill our duty, we perform our responsibilities. No, God cannot ask for more. This is the max. Actually, this is all that we want to give. It's not all that we can give. We just want to give God this much. But beyond that, it is too much. It becomes a sacrifice. It becomes something which I do not want to give because I want to reserve for myself. But do we have such an attitude? Abraham had to learn to trust in God the God it is you. The God it is exceeding great reward. Nothing to hinder him from coming to this God who loved him. And the God who wants us to do the same, just as Abraham had to trust in God and walk by faith. And so are you a believer? If you are, then you are given this faith to believe in God. The gospel of Jesus Christ revealed to us how God loved us, how we can be saved through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sin. So that when we stand before the holy presence of God, we stand before him as his people. We are no longer under his wrath. We are no longer under the fiery eyes of judgment that is against our sin. That we will surely perish if we have not come to believe in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. We will surely perish. But God does not want us to perish. God wants us to be saved. God wants us to choose life so that he can be our shield, so that he can be our exceeding great reward. And so may God help us so that we can have the confidence and be able to stand in all the promises of God that he is pleased to give to us. And so let us not waver. Let us continue to stand on his promises. Let us pray. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank thee that the covenant that thou hast made with Abraham, the covenant that thou and thou alone will keep, and thou hast given us the assurance that we need only to believe by faith. And that all these things will be given to us. The blessing of salvation, the blessing of heaven and eternal life, the blessing of having our sins all forgiven, will not be what we are going to work with our hands, for we can never work our way to heaven. O Lord, we thank thee. For this is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that thou hast given to us, that we know that it is all of thy grace and mercy that we are saved. Not of works that any man should boast. Help us, O Lord, that we may come and to believe by faith in all that thou hast done to save us. Help us not to be wavered in our faith, but to continue to believe in what thou hast done and will do to keep us all the way to the end. For we know that your promise that thou hast given to us will surely be fulfilled according to thy will, according to the glory of thy name. We commit all this unto thy loving hand, O Lord. Help us. Help in our unbelief, and may our faith be strengthened, that we may be found faithful all the way to the end. Help us, O Lord, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.